Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four, and I'm Jim Galante. He is Dustin Hockensmith. And Dustin, we're going to do something a little different this week on our show. And what I want to do is give you the power to run college football and come up with some fixes. But here's the thing. I'm not just going to do that with you this week. I'm going to ask Greg the same questions. I'll ask Ross the same questions and see what you guys come up with. And ultimately, I'm going to decide who should be the new czar of college football. So,
I love it.
With that in mind, obviously, you're the favorite to just, you know, dominate in this deal over Greg and Ross. So we all know that. That's why I'm having you go first here. And what I want to talk to you about, Dustin, is the transfer portal in general, not just specifically how it's affecting Penn State, but how it's affecting college football in general. And before we get started with you as czar of college football to fix the transfer portal, first of all, does it even need to be fixed?
You know, it's tough. I mean, the NCAA has been in this position where they want to try to give options to student athletes. But in doing so, you compromise the very amateur foundation that you claim to be built on. So it's hard to give maximum flexibility to players and still maintain that you're an amateur institution. Now, there are things changing on the amateurism front, you know, with the name, image, likeness stuff, all that. So I think there might be some openings, but it is a mess right now, Jim. And I think it was, you know, we're a couple years into it. And I think this year with the pandemic and with given that extra year of eligibility to anyone who wants it, allowing the one-time transfer without penalty, you are in a situation now, the NCAA, where the toothpaste is out of the tube. I don't know how you even begin to go back from here. So I think that's where we're at. I think you need to give some structure. And certainly anytime you have rules and you have you give some leeway, there are going to be parties who try to take advantage of it. And you're going to be chasing that constantly as long as you're doing it. So it's an interesting time for the portal. And it's an interesting time for Penn State to be following along with the portal, because this was something that James Franklin said he didn't really want to get into, but now has realized that he has to. And so it's very much a part of who we are when it comes to college football.
Dustin, I think I'm able to argue both sides with equal enthusiasm. I believe the players should have the freedom to move, but the question is that good or bad for college football? You're right. The toothpaste is out of the tube. We're going to have the transfer portal. Players going to have more freedom. But are there tweaks that can be done to the process that could help out?
Yeah, I think my belief is that there should be a one-time penalty-free transfer. I still believe in that, even though you've seen the volume in the portal go up significantly this year. You're always going to have players who pull the trigger on a transfer too soon as opposed to fighting it out. But you also are going to have guys who arrive and the coaching staff changes, or your position coach is different, or, you know, somebody transfers in and changes your whole outlook on things. You do have all these different factors in addition to socially or academically not being able to thrive at one place as opposed to another. You have all the stuff that you need to be sympathetic to the plight of players who are going through this stuff. Why are they locked into being unhappy and not able to transfer through maybe things that are outside of their control? You need to address that without allowing it to balloon out of control. But I don't think there's a solution to getting rid of this whole free agency vibe. You tell me, other than just locking it down completely and going back to a place where nobody can transfer without penalty, you are in a spot now where free agency is part of the feeling of college football. My number one thing as college football czar would be, let's get used to it. You know, let's make sure we have some structure here so it's not exploited, but get used to this idea. That's where we are.
I have no doubt that we have to get used to it, that it is here to stay. But there are some things going on, Dustin, that I asked the question, do we need, as the college football czar, to somehow protect the players from themselves? I looked up a couple things, Dustin, that I found interesting. Players who entered the portal in 2019, so we're going back a full year, do you know that there are still 63 players from the Power Five conferences, 63 players still haven't found another home yet? So that's 63 players who've given up their scholarship and are not back in school yet. I don't think anyone would argue that that's not good for the player, but are there any tweaks that could be done to, in a sense, protect these kids from themselves?
That's an interesting point about the timing of it. And I know there are always going to be exceptions to the rule, but I think implementing some kind of window where, like, if you're a kid and you are on the transfer market and you wait until June to find a new place, what are the odds you're going to get what you're looking for? What are the odds that you're going to be able to thrive academically, socially, athletically in the next place? So I think protecting kids from themselves is an interesting thought. And I think you do need to look at the idea that this is just yet another job recruiting for college coaches, that maybe you have your transfer signing day kind of thing. Maybe you have one or two of those dates where things can become official at that point. And you do allow everybody to get a little bit of structure in terms of how they're going about it. When are they recruiting transfers, and when are those guys' decisions? When do they have to be made? I think, you know, it's tough to put everybody in one group there, but I think you do need to do something for just this reason.
Here's another number for you. There are currently over 1,000 players in the portal. Another challenge to this is they're not necessarily going to have somewhere to go. When you think about, and, you know, we'll use Penn State as an example. Remember, they're bringing in a recruiting class, their 21 class. There are scholarship limits. I don't believe there's enough available scholarships for all of these players who've entered the portal. Is there a tweak where, and to understand, one of the rules is as soon as a player enters the portal, his current school does not owe him his scholarship anymore. So you chose to enter the portal, buyer beware. You can't necessarily go back unless the team wants you back. Can they tweak that rule at all? And before I get your answer, part of the problem with that is if you're at 85 players, three players enter the transfer portal, I may have brought in three other players and not have room for those three. So simply saying, gee, they should still be allowed back isn't necessarily the route to go either.
Maybe the solution here, Jim, is that, like the NFL draft, and if you're interested in declaring early for the draft, you can get a review of where you might be expected to go. Maybe you have a NCAA hired transfer consultants that help you assess your needs, your wants, academically or football, and help you figure out if this is the best decision for you. Is the damage too much done? The other part of it, you know, I think James Franklin, it was a rare achievement to get Lamont Wade back from the portal, for example. There are a lot of coaches who view your interest in exploring as giving up on your team, or it hurts their pride, and there's no coming back from that, even though technically you're able to. You're not going to change that. You're not going to change some of these meathead coaches who are hurt by that and say, you know what, screw you. If you want to explore your options, you're gone. And they have the ability to do that. I think you need good, sound advice that's outside of your coach, that's outside of your family. I don't think anybody necessarily sees the big picture or has your best interest overall in mind. That can help guide you through that decision-making process. My proposition here as college football czar is to hire college football portal transfer advisors to help advise you on whether you're making a good decision or not a good decision. You do it anonymously. You do it before your name goes into the portal, and you're able to get good, solid, unbiased information before you make a decision.
I believe that's a good idea, Dustin, in that you know, if I'm the coach of a team and you're my player and you come to me saying you want to enter the portal, first of all, if my best interest is freeing up a scholarship, I'm going to say, sure, Dusty, go right ahead. I think there's going to be a bazillion schools looking for you. And meanwhile, as soon as you leave my office, I go, oh, great, I got another scholarship. You know, I'm not looking out for your best interest. I'm looking out for the best interest of the team. So I think that's what you're saying. I had a former Penn State player make a suggestion to me. And at first, I wasn't on board with it. But the more I thought about it, I'd like to get your take on this. His suggestion was that a lot of players look to leave too quickly, say after their first year. They're all superstars in high school. They get to college campus. They expect to be on the field right away. If they're not, they're disappointed. They think the pasture is it's greener somewhere else. What would you think of saying you have to be on at the school for 2 years before you're allowed to transfer?
I think with the caveat that you have to have a real legitimate hardship system set up that will allow for, you know, the right exceptions
to that rule.
The right ones to be made. I think the NCAA seems to have made all the wrong exceptions to that rule. So you need to take a good hard look at what you define as a hardship and what isn't a hardship. Is Justin Fields wanting to leave Georgia and kind of, you know, not to take away from whatever he experienced down there, whether it was racial prejudice or whatever, and it's clear that it's a football motivated decision, you need to look at that. But if you have a kid who wants to be close to his grandmother who has cancer, which I think that's a real life example, but you say, sorry, son, you can't do it, you need to look at that system. So I think saying 2 years, barring a legitimate hardship, I would listen to that. You know, I'm pro movement. I'm pro being a kid. I think kids are swarmed by college football coaches. They sometimes have the right family set up or the right advice to make the right decision for all the right reasons. Oftentimes they don't have the right advisors. They make an emotional decision. They don't make the right decision. They end up kind of doomed at a place where they should have known that they weren't going to be happy, but they didn't have the right people in their ear about it. So you hate to lock up those kids for 2 years, but I would entertain that idea if you have a legitimate hardship. Could be mental health. It could be whatever the case might be. You have to be able to have a good hardship system, which the NCAA currently does not.
Bottom line, Dustin, is if we're giving you the freedom to make those decisions, unfortunately, you're going to have the freedom to make a bad decision. That is it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time. It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates, and the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about sauces like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.